Welcome, everybody, to Jawanza for Life, also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine. It's a beautiful afternoon, and I'm so grateful that you could take time out of your schedule to join us this afternoon. Got a special, special, special show lined up for you. They're all special, but every time I have an opportunity to speak with Dr. Ruby Lathan, I know, and you know, if you've been following the show for a while, that you're in for a wealth of information. And again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your day to spend it with us. I'm in the studio with my wife, Aquia Chef Snitten.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, what another beautiful day. We got Dr. Lathan coming back on today. Aren't you excited?
Yes, I am. She is always so knowledgeable about, you know, health.
Mm-hmm.
And then she also has a cooking show, and,
yep,
you know, especially for those of us that like to cook and that are vegetarians or transitioning into becoming a vegetarian. You know, we want to know these different recipes to spice things up so, it, you know, it can just be enjoyable even
mm-hmm.
for our family and friends when we share that we are vegetarians, because we know that that is a better way of living to increase your health.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes people don't make the connection between eating what goes into their mouth and the quality of their health. And as we know, the hospitals are full of people that are suffering from ailments that could have actually just been avoided just by adopting a plant-based diet.
That's true. And it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you just start where you are and take each day and maybe transition a little bit at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say start with things that, you know, maybe you know that it's really not good for you. Like, we know a lot of times people will say about the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
We know sugar, white sugar, is
mm-hmm.
not good for us. I mean, you might need to transition to raw.
Mm-hmm.
And then from raw to stevia.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, eventually, well, stevia is good. That's an herb type of sweetener.
Mm-hmm.
And especially it's good in teas. So, I mean, we can, it's a process. And we all are growing and evolving
mm-hmm.
and trying to better ourselves, hopefully, and just kind of take one step at a time. And so these shows that we bring is informative and can also help you make that change.
You know, and I'm glad you said it's a process, because I think for those who are making the transition and they hear us, people that have been vegetarian or vegan for a while, they could think that we're fanatics, you know. They could think that we're, you know, holier than thou, or that we think we're better than them and all of that. No, we don't think that. I mean, we've been there. I've eaten meat. I mean, my biggest issue was sugar. I mean, that was one of the biggest things that I had issues with letting go of. And, you know, it's a process. And so we just bring these shows to you for educational purposes.
Yes.
We don't think that we're better. We just want to share the information that we've obtained, that we've applied to our own lives, and hopefully by listening repeatedly, because it's not going to happen, the change doesn't happen over one show, hearing these shows again and again and again will help you to realize the importance. And maybe if you haven't made that transition, maybe one of these guests will say something and it will turn the light on, and you will say, you know what, I'm ready now. And so when you're ready, we've got people in place
yeah.
that can help you, like Aquia Chef Snitten was mentioning, the Veggie Chest, that's sponsored by our guest for this evening, Dr. Ruby Lathan, who will be with us shortly. She decided that after she made the transition, she understood if other people are going to make the transition from eating meat and dairy and so forth, then what they're transitioning to has to at least taste as good as what they're transitioning from. And we know that, you know, food's got to taste good if we're going to eat it.
And Dr. Watkins was on the show recently, and that's one thing that he brought out, too, that, you know, most people, if it tastes good, sometimes with the recipes, you can't even tell that it's not, that it doesn't have any meat
mm-hmm.
in it.
That's true.
And that's one of the biggest things that we promote, too, is eating a plant-based diet, which means eliminating meat products, meat.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are a lot of different substitutes, and then but you have to learn, you know, what those substitutes are. And like we said, again, it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
But starting with those things and transitioning off of the meat, you'll feel better. Mm. I know when I started transitioning years ago, it immediately I could feel a difference when I let go of the meat. I felt lighter.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel as bloated. And sometimes those are the things that raises your cholesterol, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
The fatty types of meats.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know about the pork.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. So I know people, sometimes they may even just eliminate the red meats, but they may still eat fish. But eventually you want to even eliminate the fish products as well, and just increase and then start increasing your intake of more fruits and vegetables. And that also, just because you're a vegetarian doesn't mean that you eat a lot of fruits and vegetables.
That's correct.
So you want to consume more fruits and vegetables and more raw items, seeds and nuts and,
mm-hmm.
and things like that, eliminating the dairy. So I'm basically sharing the information with you as I have been listening to our guests.
Mm-hmm.
We're being educated as well.
That's right.
By listening to these shows and our guests and bringing this information. And, again, we hope that it is motivating you, inspiring you to make a change.
Let's talk about water for a minute, because in addition to all of the things that you just mentioned, water is very, very important. We are made of water, and we have got to definitely consume more water. And I'm not talking about tap water. I'm talking about either distilled or spring water. Now, there's a debate that rages in the vegetarian vegan community as to which is better, spring or distilled. Well, we know that distilled water, once they distill the water, they've removed all of the nutrients from the water, all of the minerals from the water, so it's pretty much empty. But and as with spring water, all of the minerals are left intact. So when it comes to just flushing the system, distilled water may be better, but you definitely want to be able to incorporate spring water into your regimen because it's full of all of the nutrients. And again, you want to be able to flush your body. You have to flush your body. Water helps to keep everything moving. Water helps to keep the bowels moving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't want to be dehydrated, especially as we're moving into the warmer months. You definitely have to make sure that your water intake is there. So we want to encourage you to drink more water, more water, more water. Well, it looks like our guest is here.
Okay.
So let me introduce her. Okay, I know you've been waiting, and I thank you so much for your patience. My special guest for this evening is Dr. Ruby Lathan. She is a holistic health and wellness expert and advocate for plant-based nutrition. And Dr. Lathan inspires us with a powerful story of recovering from thyroid cancer through alternative treatment focused on a whole foods plant-based diet. Dr. Lathan, who holds a PhD in industrial and systems engineering and a BS in computer science, began teaching others about the benefit and power of plant-based nutrition. She motivates others to take charge of their health and provides tools for living healthy, disease-free, and above our daily routines to experience the peace and joy of life's journey. Dr. Lathan served as nutrition policy manager and lobbyist at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where she led a national initiative to improve child nutrition and prevent chronic disease through emphasis on plant-based options in the National School Lunch Program. Dr. Lathan is a dynamic speaker and educator, hosting a number of seminars, workshops, and healthful vegan cooking demonstrations. Dr. Lathan is a health and wellness contributing writer for African American Lifestyle magazine and host of an alternative health webcast, Health 365, and the Whole Foods vegan cooking show, The Veggie Chest. And now, without further ado, drum roll please, I bring to you Dr. Ruby Lathan. Thank you so much for being back on Health, Wealth, and Divine. It's always great to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's always good to be here.
Oh, I was just telling everybody about your show, The Veggie Chest, and how when it comes to making the transition from a meat-based diet and dairy, you know, people need to have options that taste good. And so we were telling them about the Veggie Chest and why you started that program to help people with that process. And again, I want to welcome everybody to Health, Wealth, and Divine. Again, we're always getting new listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're tuning in for the first time, Dr. Lathan comes on once a month, and she shares, and I guarantee you that whenever you stop and you sit and you listen, you always walk away full of information, and I guarantee you, you're going to want to hear more. So I'll tell you about the archives during the course of the show, so you can go back and listen to other shows with Dr. Lathan. She's got an awesome, awesome testimony of recovering from thyroid cancer. So for those of you who are out there who are listening, who may have gotten a bad report from the doctor, well, good news. It doesn't have to be a death sentence. You can recover from just about anything if you're willing to do the work. And Dr. Lathan has a story that's out of this world. Doctor, again, welcome back to Health, Wealth, and Divine. And for those people who are tuning in for the first time and don't know of your awesome story, could you briefly share what brought you to the holistic health field and what got you started on this path?
Sure. What really got me here was, you know, a health crisis. I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer, and that was in 2007, and I decided to look at alternative treatment, or rather natural treatment, to heal the cancer. So I researched and studied and found quite a bit of information on plant-based diets and their ability to help the body heal and get back to its natural state. And so I switched to a whole foods plant-based diet, meaning just eating foods in their most natural form. I researched several different supplements and things that help boost the immune system or reduce inflammation in the body, and started doing those things. And within about a year, I was able to reverse the cancer with just the nutrition and supplements and meditation, visualization, and prayer, and was able to really, you know, turn things around, which was what the outcome that I was looking for. And it was quite amazing, and a lot of people wanted to know how I did that. And so I started sharing and then eventually turned it into my new career path, because the need is great for people to know that you can heal the body naturally, and we can prevent a lot of things as well through a healthy, well-rounded, plant-based diet.
You know, Doctor, you mentioned visualization, and I've, you know, of course, heard your testimony before, and every time I hear it, it's inspiring, but we haven't really talked about the visualization piece, and you incorporated visualization into your program. Could you talk about that and the need for somebody who might be experiencing a health crisis when they're making that leap from eating, if they're going to change it through a dietary change, to actually seeing themselves better, seeing the results that they're looking for? I know that visualization is very, very powerful. Could you talk about that for a moment?
Absolutely. I think that the visualization was really a pivotal piece of my recovery, because it's when I really started seeing changes, like my thyroid shrinking, and just was able to really get to that state of peace about the process. So, what I read, and unfortunately that was really the last piece of the puzzle that I put together in this whole holistic routine, because I mentioned, you know, the food, the supplements, and then finally I got to the meditation and visualization. And basically it's, you know, we've heard that if you can believe it, you can achieve it. You have to see where you're trying to go in order for it to make that happen. And so it's the same thing with healing and visualization. Basically, I was visualizing cancer leaving my body because that was my goal. And so, because we knew that it was there and we knew it needed to leave, and so I would just visualize it leaving, shrinking until I couldn't see it anymore. I tried different visualization techniques, but that's the one that really stuck. And basically it's giving cues to your body as to what you want. It's also emanating energy in the direction that you want. It's also, we receive and put out energy waves. And so by putting that in the atmosphere, putting that out, this is, I'm saying, this is what I'm attracting to me. I'm attracting health. I'm getting rid of something I don't want. I'm throwing that off. And I'm also attracting other people who think and believe in the same vibe who can assist me in this process. So it was very powerful. I always felt really empowered and in charge of the process. Once I started doing that, it just brought me a great sense of peace, like, you know, my health really was in my own hands. And in this case, it's in your own mind in terms of being able to heal. And so I thought it was very critical to do that. I've read lots of articles and books that discuss the process of visualization. And really, it's not very complicated. It is just vividly seeing in your mind's eye what you want to achieve. So as I mentioned, you know, there was a tumor there. I wanted the tumor to shrink. I wanted the cancer specifically to go away. So my visualization was seeing this, what I considered the tumor, just shrinking and shrinking and shrinking until it was non-existent. I sometimes visualized the cancer cells exploding and just leaving my body. So it was whatever, you know, works for you, that's what's going to work. And so it's really taking charge and realizing we do have the power within us to make things happen. And once we believe that, it brings a sense of peace and calm, and it also helps make the body more alkaline when you are in that state of peacefulness and you're not worrying, which also helps the body heal. So it's got, you know, your, I guess you'd call it the spiritual aspect, but it's also rooted in a physical foundation, too, in terms of what happens in the body when you meditate, when you visualize, is something very positive. You know, blood pressure is reduced. You know, things are relaxed. Blood vessels are relaxed. All of the things that you want, inflammation is reduced. So it has a very tight connection with our physical selves, the same way when we get angry, I literally get hot. I don't know about everybody else, but when I get really angry, I actually get hotter. So, you know, I can feel the heat rising. So that's, you know, our body and our mind are intertwined. They're not separate. And we just have to learn how to have them work together to achieve the results we want.
Well, you know, what's interesting, Doctor, is that, you know, being able for you to be able to incorporate you had to have a positive attitude, you know, visualizing the results that you wanted to see, but you didn't go off into the mountains, you know, somewhere into the Himalayas, you know. I assume you still had to deal with your day-to-day, everyday life, you know, and that involves other people, you know. It's not like we could go into a cave somewhere and just, you know, shut ourselves off from the world and visualize whatever it is that we need to visualize, but we still interact on a daily basis with people, whether they're people on the job, people in the family, you know, parents, children, friends, loved ones, strangers even. We interact with people. So if you could talk for a moment just even about the necessities to surround ourselves with people who share a positive energy, who share that positive energy and who are going to be supportive and encouraging. Because, yeah, it would be great if we could just go off and, you know, take our positiveness and go off and isolate ourselves and, you know, get the results. But you could come right out of meditation and run into somebody negative, you know what I mean? So if you could talk about the importance of just surrounding yourself with people who support you and encourage you along this process.
Sure. It is. It's very important because attitudes are contagious. So, you know, as we know, you run into somebody who's really happy, you tend to feel better after talking to them. It's the same way with negativity. You tend to slip right into their negative mode, and before you know it, you're complaining too. So I did get rid of one or two negative people in my life just because I was like, I need less stress in my life and I need to heal. So sometimes we do need to take a little more drastic action to make that happen. But other times we can't just avoid everyone, but you can shut down the negativity. You can say, you know, okay, you can cut short that conversation and walk away, or you can say, yeah, I can't even go to that negative place right now. I'm on a positive vibe, you know, and they'll stop bringing the negativity to you. But especially in the healing process, it's important to have, you know, support and, you know, people who kind of believe in what you're doing also to just to give you that positive energy and strength to keep going. So it's definitely important to stick with the positive energy, the positive vibe, because it's not only just makes you feel better, but it has a profound effect on the health. And so that's oftentimes when I'm coaching people, if I notice the negativity or a lot of fear about the illness that they're dealing with or something, you know, that's something we have to address first. So I said, if you're not, we can do all the healthy eating and juicing in the world, but if your overriding thought every day is I'm going to die, or I'm feeling, you know, woe is me, why did this happen, then your emotions are going to override the alkalinity and the juice and the food and everything else we're doing. So it doesn't work. And so that's why we have to take this holistic approach and get the mind, body, and spirit as one and moving forward. So I usually start with that and saying let's start turning that worry into visualization, because I like to think or have read that, you know, worry is the opposite of visualization. It's really negative visualization. It is thinking about the worst possible outcome, because obviously you don't want to die or you wouldn't be taking steps to heal yourself. So, but if you're thinking I might die, you're basically sending out that death energy, which isn't good. What you want to think about is life. I want to live. What do I want to be doing next year? I want my body to heal. How do I want to feel? You know, those type of things that really help you, you know, move along the healing road.
You know, Doctor, I'm thoroughly enjoying this conversation. I mean, because, you know, anytime you talk to somebody that's got a positive attitude and they're sharing positive energy, it can only lift and boost the spirits of those that are listening. And I encourage the listeners who are tuned in and who will tune in, if you know of somebody that is going through a health crisis, definitely share this interview with them, because they're definitely going to be benefits that they're going to receive just by listening to Dr. Lathan, because of her nature, her energy is positive. And, you know, speaking of positive and positivity, there's a positive event that's actually taking place tomorrow, and it's called Earth Day. And they're going to be celebrating this day all across the globe. Different countries are going to be celebrating it. Doctor, could you talk about Earth Day and, you know, what it is for those who might be hearing about Earth Day for the first time?
Right, sure. It's every year about this time on the 22nd of April, and it's really just commemorating the planet we live on and ways that we can help take care of it and improve it, and things that we can do to lessen our footprint on the planet. So it's a time to, you know, highlight that, you know, in different ways. So it's really, and there's lots, as you mentioned, lots of celebrations that go on around it and things to, you know, help commemorate it.
You know, it's interesting, even as I was just thinking about Earth Day and just the celebrations that are going to be taking place and the awareness that people are going to be bringing to just the topic of the environment, I'm sure, and the ecology and what we can do to help make this planet that we live on better. It just struck me that we really take this Earth for granted, you know. I mean, we really take it for granted. We just assume that, you know, everything, that the water is going to be clean. You know, we assume that the air that we breathe is going to be suitable for us to breathe, and not even consider just the ramifications of certain things that we do to the environment, you know, just in the name of technology and advancement. You know, it's just interesting that we, you know, have a day such as Earth Day so that we can bring back to our remembrance, hey, you know, this thing that we live on called the planet, it's a living thing, you know, and we really have to take care of it.
Absolutely. And it really, you know, started, I think, back in 1970, you know, kind of part of the birth of the environmental movement of, hey, wait a minute, we can't just put lead in the atmosphere and dump things in the ocean and do all these things and think it doesn't have a profound effect on us, because, you know, we are part of this earth. And so it's like we really have to, you know, kind of not be so self-centered and realize, you know, everything that we do affects someone else. You know, every piece of garbage we throw out the window affects something else in our ecosystem. You know, as they say, you know, a butterfly in Japan flaps its wings and it has an effect all the way over here. It's the same thing. When we had the spill, the chemical meltdown over in Japan not that long ago, that had effect on all of, you know, fish and marine life.
Mm-hmm.
That affects us, affects the algae and everything else that we harvest and eat. So we can't think that we live in a vacuum and that it doesn't, you know, affect our fellow man. And that's really what it's about, ways that we can actually be more environmentally friendly, and in small and large ways that we can really make an impact. And it's not something reserved for, as we like to say, the tree huggers and the granola girls and things like that. We like to marginalize people who care about our environment. But these are the same people who help save it to the point where it is today, and we need to join that movement and do our part.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned the tree huggers and the vegan girls, and I was just sharing right before you came on how sometimes people think that if an individual has chosen a vegan path, they think that we're fanatics. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, I actually knew somebody, and I was very impressed by this person. And this was right around the time that I first became vegetarian. Even before I became vegan, this was probably about almost 20 years ago. I met a young lady who was vegan, and she didn't wear leather. She wouldn't even wear anything that came from an animal, you know, and she was in her early 20s, and I was like, wow, she's really into this thing. You know, she's
right.
really deep into this. I mean, she was just very, very, I don't want to use the word fanatical, but very, very serious about her
mm-hmm.
veganism. And although I'm not there at that point with it, I mean, I don't eat, you know, meat or dairy, but when it comes to, you know, just even taking the position that I'm not going to even wear leather or anything, that an animal should not have to die, you know, for me to have a coat or shoes or whatever. I mean, I think that's admirable just to even take that position, and I don't think it's fanatical at all.
Right.
But, you know, there are those who think that, and it might actually stop people from actually making that transition if they hear of something like that, and they think that, oh, if that's what being vegan is, you know, no, I'm not giving up my furs, you know, if that's
right.
what being is, I'm not giving up my leather coats and my gaiters, you know what I mean? So, but even with that, just to be that conscious that there is something, like you mentioned, that everything that we do affects something else, you know? So,
right.
I mean, even if you talk about that for a moment, just the need to just even be conscious that there are alternatives. I mean, the young lady was sharing with me that I think that her shoes were hemp or something, that there was an alternative to an animal
right.
having to for what she was putting on her body.
Absolutely. I mean, and these things usually come in stages. You don't normally go from, you know, meat-eating, you know, polluter to a vegan, you know, I don't even wear leather. It's usually a process. As you get more informed, you start making more informed choices about it. So for me, it wasn't something I thought about initially. You know, I thought about, you know, meat, obviously something has to die for me to eat it. But I didn't think about dairy, something having to die for me to eat. I was like, you know, that's just the milk of the cow until
mm-hmm.
I realized how they, you know, get the milk in a very profane way, you know, in the way they impregnate the cows repeatedly and how cheese is produced using the stomach of the calves and things like that. So something actually did have to die for me to have that cheese, which I didn't know. So as we become more aware, then we make different choices. And then when I saw the, you know, the horrific conditions and the slaughtering of the animals and the way that they're raised and treated, it's quite disgusting. And it's like, oh, okay, I don't want to be a part of that system. And it helped me, you know, stage by stage, take the next step. And then I thought about, well, the eggs, the chickens are going to lay the eggs anyway. But then I look at how they're raised and how they're treated and how the baby, you know, male chickens are all killed because they're not useful in the industry, and so they're killed alive and smothered and things like that. So once you become more aware and more informed, you start making those choices. So really the bottom line is education, educating yourself before you become dogmatic about a position that someone else has. You might want to walk a little bit in their shoes to see why they're walking that path. And so for me, you know, I thought about the whole leather thing, and then I watched a documentary on how they produce this leather, and it's very horrendous. And so the cows aren't treated well, and not from cows who just naturally fall over and die. You know, they're bred this way. And so usually there's a method behind the, quote, madness as to why people are choosing a more friendly way to live our lives, that we don't have to kill and destroy to have a healthful, happy existence. And that's the path that, you know, I have chosen, try to get closer and closer to that path every day of live and let live. Animals are here to share the environment. They're not here for us to control and eat. Mm-hmm. And so it's a pathway that, you know, you become happier, I think, you know, as long as you don't go the judgmental route and forget from whence you've come, as a lot of people sometimes do that too once they've arrived, and, you know, they, mm-hmm. they tend to forget that they used to do the same thing, and that can be a turnoff to a lot of people. I've talked to people, you know, who know, quote-unquote, vegans and other environmentally conscious people and are turned off by the position. So we just have to remember that, you know, we got here through an educational experience, and other people are going to take that same path, so not to judge along the way, but to inform, you know, because we were talking about, you know, Earth Day, and all the, we always talk about all the things you can do from, you know, turning off your lights, not letting water run while you're brushing your teeth, you know, taking shorter showers, you know, energy efficient light bulbs to battery operated cars, all those things, but what has been shown is that the biggest thing that you can do to reduce our carbon footprint is to eat a plant-based diet. That is the number one biggest thing that you can do. Not eating meat one day a week would have a greater impact than buying a battery-powered car for a year and driving that. So when we look at the trade-off of, let's say, spending money on this car, getting rid of our old car, versus not doing something, not spending money, just not eating that chicken, cow, fish, whatever it is, that you can contribute to the reduction of those greenhouse gases, is a pretty simple thing to do. And I like to educate people about that because you have a lot of environmentalists who, you know, want clean water and all these other things and are out cleaning the Anacostia but then have a steak on their plate. Like, we might want to, you know, take a look at what you're eating too, again, in a non-judgmental way, because this is about education, but that steak used, you know, 30 or 40 gallons of water to produce that little pound of meat there. And it also produced a tremendous amount of greenhouse gases because the cow, likely factory farmed, has been fed an unnatural diet of wheat, corn, and soy, which it would never eat on its own because you would chew on grass. And so eating these things don't have those, and usually genetically modified wheat, corn, and soy, don't have the probiotics and the other enzymes that grass, live grass, has. And so it causes the cow to produce and emit a tremendous amount of methane gas. And that gas is the number one destroyer of our ozone. Mm. The gas that's produced by farm animals is by far greater, the biggest polluter and emitter of that, of those gases, than any other single thing, than the entire automotive and transportation industry. And so when we look at that and we say, well, how can I impact my environment? It's by leaving the cows alone, the chickens alone, the pigs alone, and let them have their lives. And we find something more healthy to eat, because not only does it reduce the carbon footprint, it reduces the cruelty to those animals, and it improves your health. And it's like, that makes the most sense, does it not? It's like a plant-based diet, to me, is like the most sensible and the most humane and the healthiest diet you can have. So that's what I like to bring out about Earth Day. If you really want to be a proponent of taking care of this planet, all you have to do is stop and think about what's on your plate. And you can start with that one day a week, increasing that one meal at a time. And, you know, you can start from a selfish place if you want, about your health, you know, to reduce, you know, the probability of diabetes, heart disease, stroke, erectile dysfunction, PMS, and a whole host of other things that you'll be reducing if you leave the meat and dairy alone. But then you also have these other huge benefits to the planet, which we all need to make. I mean, there have been articles out there saying, you know, in 50 years the world is going to need to be vegan in order just to save the planet. So I'm like, well, I have a head start, so no problem there.
Well, what would you say about those proponents of free range, I guess, when it comes to the animals and those who eat meat and, you know, have said, okay, well, mm-hmm. I'm going to go the free range route and, you know, I'll just do it that way, and that way I won't,
right.
You know, the animals won't be treated as inhumane as they are otherwise. What do you say to the proponents of free range?
Well, I would say that's a step in the right direction, but it's still not where you want to be. Because first we have to define free range, because there's a lot of misnomers about what that means. And, you know, the food industry is always looking to make the most amount of money. And so they will do the least amount so they can tag their product as free range or range free or cage free as much as possible. So oftentimes, especially when it comes to eggs, range-free vegetarian fed means really not much. It means maybe they cut a hole in the chicken house coop, so you know, maybe 100 of the 1,000 chickens in there can actually get out and see the light of day. That's in some cases what range-free means. So you really need to research that. Is this truly a pasture-raised hen, or is this one that's in a coop that they cut a little door in so they could label it as free-range and then charge you twice as much? So that's a very common practice that's going on right now. Two, it definitely produces better quality in terms of the amount of vitamins and nutrients you get from the meat when it's free range. However, it's still fat. You still get the hormones, even if they're not doing growth hormones, or even if they're not giving the animals antibiotics. Animals still have hormones. They still have that you're then ingesting that we don't need. You still get all of the fat and saturated cholesterol and those things that we don't need in our diet that still will clog our arteries just as fast as a factory-farmed cow or chicken or turkey. So that effect is really the same. You do reduce the amount of toxins that you're putting in by going free-range, organic, and things like that. But you still reduce, you don't eliminate. So there's still an issue with that production, and the animal is still dead at the end of the day. They want to live just like we do. There's a reason the sheep cries when it goes to slaughter, is because it wants to live. So you're still not eradicating the cruelty effect. You know, because I've seen these free-range farms, some of them, and they're like, the chickens got to live free there most of their life, and they come right up to the slaughter day, and they put them all in a cage and kill each one right in front of the other, as if these are not intelligent creatures and beings. And I was like, that's terrible. You know, so it's not as compassionate as it sounds. It's much better than being the factory farming process, which I think should be completely outlawed because it's just full of cruelty, but it's still not where you want to be. You still will be doing more for the planet and your body by eliminating that.
Everybody, my special guest is Dr. Ruby Lathan. I told you, didn't I tell you? This is going to be a fabulous interview. If you have a question, all you have to do is press 1. If you're listening online, the call-in number is 347-324-5727. That's 347-324-5727. Now, could you talk about organic for a minute? Because, of course, when anybody embarks upon a vegetarian or vegan path and they start running in vegetarian and vegan circles, they're going to hear the word organic, and it's, you know, to mean, you know, free from pesticides and insecticides and all of that. Could you talk about just how adopting an organic lifestyle, in addition, let's say you stopped eating meat, let's say you stopped eating dairy, but now you want to take it another step. Could you talk about the importance and the benefits of organic, choosing organic food as opposed to food that has been? I mean, it seems like a no-brainer, but, you know, there are people out there who just feel like, hey, you know, hey, I've stopped eating meat, you know, come on, let's not press it here. You know, organic is more expensive, and, you know, they might feel like they might have to pay a little bit more, but in the long run, obviously, it's worth it. Could you talk about organic and the benefits of that?
Sure. Again, like I said, it's a process, so you can take it one step at a time. You know, an organic lifestyle is definitely friendlier to the environment because you don't have the degradation of the soil with the pesticides and things like that. And a lot of allergies and abnormalities and, I believe, disease stem from the high pesticide residue that we take in from our, you know, fruits and vegetables. So, So it is much better and safer to eat most things organic. Now, there are some foods that that are not sprayed naturally because I guess the bugs don't really get to them before the harvest, so there's just a very low pesticide level. And then there are some that are very high. So if you're not ready to go 100% organic, you can at least start with the top of the list of things that should be organic because they are sprayed incessantly. And those would be things like apples, leafy greens, and berries. So those things should always be organic just because of the way that they're sprayed throughout the entire process. They retain most of that residue of the pesticide. So those things we should just, you know, buy organic, period. And washing and rinsing doesn't remove the pesticides. It can remove some residue, but it does not remove most of it. And so a lot of people have different allergies and other things because of these high pesticide levels and things that they've taken in over time, which build up. So that's why it's important to do cleanses, and especially if you're doing a cleanse or juice fast or something like that, it should be organic fruits and vegetables because you're trying to reduce the toxins and not add more in. And so there's something with the environmental working group called the Clean 15 and the Dirty Dozen. And there's basically the top 12 things you should always buy organic. They call that the Dirty Dozen, and the Clean 15 are those things that you don't necessarily have to buy organic because they're rarely sprayed, like pineapple and avocado, onions and a couple of other things, watermelon, those type of things that generally are not really sprayed. You can take a list, look at that list, and then you can, you know, make some decisions that, okay, I don't have to buy the organic avocados because the pesticide, you know, level is extremely low for these type of vegetables or fruit. So there is a path you can take that might not be as painful as going 100% organic. And then a lot of people just don't understand what organic means. They haven't taken the time to realize that what generally, if a product is truly organic, it means that it is not genetically modified. So you're eliminating the GMOs, the genetically modified organisms, which we don't want. And you're also, the vegetables and fruits have been grown the traditional way, the way our grandparents used to grow fruits and vegetables, without pesticides, without all the junk, with just doing crop rotation and feeding the soil healthy things. So generally, you do have a healthier, better tasting product when it's organic. You not only eliminate the pesticide residue, but you eliminate the probability that this is a genetically modified food as well.
Doctor, have you heard of companies or corporations that have gotten caught for mislabeling? Because with all of the money that is made in food and, you know, food production and all of that, you would think that rather than, you know, there are some companies that would just say, you know what, I'm just going to put this down here. I'm going to say it's organic. You know, they'll never know the difference, you know. Because there are times, for example, I remember when I first saw an organic orange, I believe it was. It might have been an orange, but it was so much smaller than the normal or conventional orange or whatever that it was. Might have been a grapefruit or whatever. I was shocked. I was like, wow. The difference was mind blowing to me. I was like, wow, this is what it's really supposed to look like, you know. But I would think that, unfortunately, because of the world that we live in, that there would be people that would try to get around and still try to make money, saying, you know, well, look, I'm not going to grow this organically, but I'm going to label it as such. I mean, have you ever heard of companies getting busted for that?
I have. I can't remember any, like, huge scandals of that, but I'm sure it's going on. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they are pricing these things sometimes two and three times as much as the pesticide-laden vegetables. So, you know, I tend to try to stick with local markets that I think tend to know their producers and things like that, so that you have a greater probability this isn't happening. Whereas, you know, you have your neighborhood chain grocery store, you know, I would think the likelihood is a little more higher there. So, you know, there's you can research some of the companies and things like that if you're not really sure, and you can ask a lot of questions at the grocery store to really find out. But if you really, you know, want to research that, that is possible. But, you know, for the most part, we're hoping that's not happening on a large scale. But my way, I think, around that is to really kind of go for the smaller local markets that really do an effort of getting things that are local and knowing their providers, their suppliers.
You know, Doc, I'd like to go back to something you mentioned earlier, because I think a lot of people just assume that if they wash their fruits and vegetables, then whatever the pesticides or insecticides that may have been sprayed on them, that you can just wash them off. So if you do buy something and it's not organic, you might have to spend much, much more time washing it, even though you're not going to get it all. You're not going to get, like Doctor said, you're going to might, you know, rinse off some of the residue, but especially when it comes to certain things that have a real thin skin, like maybe a plum or something, you know, something that's got grape, you know, that's got a real thin skin. I mean, you can wash all day long, but I mean, that stuff, that poison is seeped into the fruit or the vegetable. So I just really want to reiterate that, yes, it might cost a little bit more, but I mean, when you think about the what you're doing to your body by ingesting that, and I think for a lot of people, part of the issue is, especially if they don't have any health problems, let's say they go to the doctor and they get a clean bill of health and they've never eaten organic in their life. You know, they think, well, okay, that's for the that's for the fanatics, you know. I just came from the doctor. Every time I go to the doctor, I get a clean bill of health, you know. So what would you say to those people who would take the position that, okay, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, it might make sense to eat organic if you can, you know. And I think that that's what happens with a lot of people. They take this whole position of this if you can thing, you know, this if you can approach, if you can, meaning that if you can afford it, you know, if I don't have to go out of my way to go to a place where they sell organic food, you know, this if you can thing. So if you could just really stress the importance of, you know, you may want to take that if you can and change that to, I really need to be proactive about my health because I don't want to die from something that could have been avoided. That's the saddest thing to me when something could have been avoided, and then
right.
you end up having a funeral, and all you had to do was, for example, say, eat organic as opposed to eating conventional produce.
Right. Well, kind of speak to that with the being able to wash things off. The reason you're not able to wash it off is because the spraying process starts very early, as soon as the fruit or vegetable sprouts. So it's sprayed on through the life of the fruit or the vegetable. So as it's developing, you know, throughout, you know, you're getting a fresh coat of this. So that's one reason it's nearly impossible to truly wash it off or even peel it off, because it's in there. And then if it's a genetically modified food, you know, that gene of the pesticide has been inserted into the plant itself, so into the seed. So you are consuming that DNA of that plant that has the pesticide in it, in addition to it being sprayed even more. So for example, the wheat, soy, and corn, which is genetically modified, mostly about 80 to 90% of it is, it's not only does it have the gene of the pesticide, usually it's Roundup, made by Monsanto, usually those plants are sprayed even more, like just drenched in the pesticide, because they can withstand it, and that's the purpose of genetically modifying it, so that it can withstand the pesticide that we're now going to spray on it. So because we know it will resist it, because it's part of it. So those, especially the genetically modified plants, are sprayed, you know, much, much more than other plants, because they can withstand it. So you're not only getting a genetically modified food, you're getting a genetically modified food that has been sprayed, you know, enormously. So you're getting a much higher level of the pesticide in itself. So that's one thing to consider. You know, we talk about, well, my grandmother and grandfather didn't do this. They also didn't have Monsanto then producing food on mass scale and poisoning us either. So things are a bit different, and oftentimes, you know, these levels build up in our system, and so nothing happens until much later when our body cannot dispel them anymore or handle it. So you mm-hmm. might have been getting a clean bill of health for 30, 40 years. Doesn't mean that it's going to stay that way. Not that we need scare tactics, but that's not necessarily the rule of thumb to go by either. So one thing that I have read is that what's more protective to our bodies than, you know, organic or non-organic is the elimination of animal protein. So what has been shown is that even the toxins in foods, the pesticides and other things, tend to have a much lesser effect on us if we're eating a plant-based diet. So, for example, I think the word is aflatoxins that we find in peanuts. It's something like that, that we find in peanuts because of the way they're stored in a kind of a moist environment. They develop this kind of a fungus that is not very healthy for us. And so what was shown, and I think it was in the book, The China Study, was that even with eating high amounts of these toxins via peanut butter, if the person was following a plant-based diet and eating less than 10% of protein in their animal protein in their entire diet, they didn't develop any illness or disease based on that those toxins from the peanuts. However, if they were eating meat or animal protein at greater than 10% of their total calorie intake, then they did develop disease and things related to that toxin. So it was showing that a plant-based diet has a protective effect even in the face of known carcinogenic toxins, that diet can protect you from that. So if you're not able to, you know, think you're not able to buy organic or whatever, you can at least protect your health by eating a plant-based diet. And so that's the good news, that the body is able to handle more toxins without getting you sick when you're eliminating the animal protein.
Well, what would you say about, what's the word, it just escaped me, supplements? For those who feel like, listen, I can't, you know, make a salad every day, or, you know, I'll just take this multi-green vitamin or pill that says on the label, it's got this herb, that herb, this herb, that herb, hawthorn berry, it's got, you know, goji berries in it, it's got all this and that and the other. What would you say in terms of whether that would be, sure, it wouldn't be as effective necessarily as if you were to eat a nice leafy green salad with all kinds of, you know, 7 or 8 different vegetables in it. But could that substitute for somebody who's always on the go and they feel like, hey, I just can't get it in that way. I can't juice it in every day, you know. What about supplements?
Supplements are beneficial. Like you said, they can't replace a healthy diet, but they can do what the name says, supplement it. You know, many vitamins and nutrients work in concert with the other vitamin and nutrients in that fruit or vegetable. So when you start isolating the vitamin, it doesn't work the same, you know, as eating an orange that's got, let's say, vitamin C, because it's got a lot of other things in it, enzymes and phytonutrients and a bunch of other things that make up that fruit. That's why it's what it is. And so we can't rely on taking these individual supplements as a way to have optimal health, because the body needs those other components that are in there. Like when you put a salad together, you're putting the greens in there, you're putting maybe some onions, you're putting, you know, other things, carrots, and all that together gives you a more complete nutrient profile than you could possibly get by taking individual supplements. Now, I'm all for supplements here and there because a lot of times our food is, you know, especially if it's not organic, has fewer nutrients in it than it should. If the soil hasn't been cultivated properly, you get a lot less nutrients than you should be getting. So sometimes it's important to take a whole food multivitamin. I say whole food meaning that it's made from food and not synthetic, that's got fillers and food coloring and all these other things that they put in cheaper vitamins and has very little nutrients in it. So you want to make sure you're taking a food-based supplement and vitamin, and it'll say whole food. And when you read it, you know, you won't see all these chemical names and food coloring. You'll see actually, you know, food that's extracts and things they've put together. And that's really what you want there instead of, you know, taking the vitamins that are just have very little nutrients in it. So supplementation has its place, but it doesn't replace good nutrition. But certainly if you're eating a poor diet, you do want to add some supplements. But even if you're eating a healthy diet, you know, things like B12 and a whole food multivitamin are important. And even people who eat meat are deficient in B12. Most of the population, just because the way that our food is grown, you know, has an issue with that. So some supplementation is important, but it's not going to replace eating healthy. It's not going to undo a bad diet.
Now, let's talk about water for a moment. Again, tomorrow's Earth Day, and they're going to be discussing the environment, the ecology, I mean, a lot of different things. Let's talk about water for a moment, though. Of course, we need water for the body. Right before you came on, we were talking about the importance of drinking water. In many circles, there's a dispute as to which is better, distilled or spring. What would you say concerning that? I know that distilled has it's empty in that, you know, all of the minerals have been removed. There's nothing in it. But I would think that that's good for flushing. But I'll ask you. But not to say don't drink spring. No, we definitely need spring water. But what's your take on spring versus distilled?
Well, like you said, they're different in that, like you said, the distilled does the purest water because it's just the steam of the water, so all of the toxins are pretty much gone, but as well as the mineral contents too. So if you're drinking exclusively distilled, you might be missing some of the the minerals that you need. And then spring water is excellent because it does retain those, but it's not quite as pure as distilled. So, you know, my take on it is to have both, you know, and for different purposes. If you're doing a cleanse, probably distilled is going to be the best way to go with that. But I think either combination is fine. Just knowing that you probably want to take some trace mineral supplements if you are drinking exclusively distilled water, and to ensure that you get what you need. So it's hard to say which is better. There's so much written about that, you know, it's kind of inconclusive. It's just that, you know, you have the purest versus the most complete, which would be, you know, the spring water. So.
Well, Doc, lastly, if we could talk about dairy just for a moment. We had Dr. Watkins on last week. It might have been earlier this week, and oh my God, we talked about dairy. I mean, we talked about cheese, and whew, my God, that was a very, very powerful, powerful interview. And I know that you're aware of the benefits of eating a dairy-free diet, and just the effects that that has on even the planet, okay? I mean, but then again, if you want to be selfish about it, like you mentioned earlier, and just for your own personal health, just the effects of dairy, because I think a lot of times people say everything in moderation. You know, hey, if I have some cream in my coffee, I mean, come on, let's not get carried away with this thing here. You know, some people feel like, again, no dairy. I mean, they feel like a vegan diet is just very, very restrictive. But it's the healthiest diet that you could possibly obtain. I mean, the goal here is to live. And I think that if people understood that, you can live healthy, you can eat healthy, and it can taste good, but your health has to be, if your health isn't important to you, if your own health isn't important to you, and you know, and studies have proven that certain lifestyles are more conducive to health, then, I mean, what do you care about more than, if your health's not important, then what is? So if you could talk about just dairy and the role that that plays in this discussion on just even the planet and just food and being able to help the planet by just even, as you mentioned, just skipping. If you could just skip one meal of meat per week, how about dairy? I mean, just even adding, throwing that in there, throw that in there, one meatless day, and how about a dairy-free day as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, the dairy industry has the same effect on the planet as the meat industry because of the way, you know, the cows are raised and all of that. So from an environmental perspective, it's the same thing. You have to drop the dairy if you're trying to save the environment. So we can start there. Secondly, the dairy is just very inflammatory for the body. You know, it's meant for baby cows to grow very quickly. That's why it has the high protein content and a lot of other things, and that's why it's got growth hormones and the things that it has in it for a baby cow to grow. Once the cow is grown, it doesn't even drink milk anymore. So what sense does it make for human adults to be drinking milk? You just think about that for a minute. You know, if people just let that sink in. The cow stops drinking milk once it's weaned. Why would we then go back? There's no nutritional need for dairy in our diet at all, zero. So that's number one. Number two, there are tons of alternatives. You want cream in your coffee, it's coconut creamer, almond milk creamer. You just have to get out of your box of being part of the herd of our culture where everything is simple and everything is easy and convenient. It's also toxic. It's also unhealthy, and it's also cheap for a reason, and it's not for your health. So you have to step outside of that box of the herd mentality. This is what everybody else is doing, and I can get 2 gallons of it at Costco for $10, and think about why that is. for starters, and then make a concerted effort to find alternatives, because there are plenty of alternatives. So once you realize you don't have to be deprived and open your mind to the possibility of alternatives and alternative restaurants and recipes, then you don't feel that deprivation. Two, so we get back to the inflammatory effect that it has in our digestive system, and inflammation is one of the number one causes of disease, from diseases of our gut to our heart, to heart disease, to a bunch of other things. So inflammation is a problem, is a primary problem in the development of most of our chronic diseases that are going on now. So if you want to reduce that, you want to get away from inflammatory-inducing foods, cheese being among the top probably three of highly inflammatory foods. So we want to get rid of that. It's very high in saturated fat. It's where we get most of our saturated fat and cholesterol is from dairy products. And then if you're going with the low-fat milks, then you're upping the sugar content dramatically. And so now you're getting sugar, which is also going to help you gain weight and become inflamed. So there's really a no-win with the dairy process, especially if you're eating dairy products from factory-farmed animals. You're also getting a very impure product that's full of hormones and growth hormones and antibiotics and all of that. So you're ingesting something that is very sickly to begin with. So it's not fit for food. It never was meant to be food. Cheese is, you know, basically mold that's grown, so that's not really beneficial for us either. So there's a lot of issues with cheese, from the environmental impact to the health impact of that. So we want to look at alternatives to that to maintain our health, maintain our alkalinity, maintain our bone health. All those things are negatively impacted by dairy products.
You know what, Dr. Edge, I was just listening to you. It just hit me just how we've been trained. You know, you've got people that grew up eating grilled cheese sandwiches, you know. I mean, just grew up macaroni and cheese and thinking nothing of it. I mean, really, actually giving no thought to it, you know. And just how the body, even in spite of the things that we've put in it over and over and over and over, still wants to heal us and will if we stop putting the junk in and start giving the body what it needs. And like you mentioned about education, it's important, and it's got to start. It's hopefully at some point in time they will start introducing this information to schools, because when I was growing up, the food chart was have X amount of, you know, servings of meat, a couple of glasses of milk, you know, all this stuff that we now know is not good was being taught to us. And I don't know if back then it was, I don't want to date myself, but I don't know if back then it was because of lack of knowledge or it was actually intentional. But, I mean, that was at a very, very young age that they were actually had the food chart and telling you what you should eat. And just about everything on there was bad for you. So
right.
I really appreciate the work that you do in educating people about this process, and even going as far as to have a show, The Veggie Chest, which actually teaches people and shows people how they can make the transition from a meat-eating diet to a plant-based, dairy-free diet. Because I think that's part of the big issue for a lot of people is like, okay, well, if I stop eating my favorite food, I've got to replace it with something, you know, and something that tastes good. Because if it doesn't taste good, they're not going to eat it, you know. So I can really appreciate the work that you do on different levels, educating the people, and then not just telling them that you need to stop eating this, you need to stop eating this, this is not good for you, that's not good for you. You even go as far as to say, now, let me take you by the hand and show you how to make healthy food that tastes good and is good for you. I mean, that that's a big one there, because, again, for a lot of people, they will agree that, okay, yes, I agree. Eating meat is not good. Okay, I heard it. I believe the doctor. She was very compelling in her presentation. Yes, dairy is not good. But now what? You know. So if you could talk about the Veggie Chest before we close, and I want please for you to give your information so that people who've heard this and, you know, they like to get in contact with you for maybe speaking engagements, or they want to, you know, get in contact with you, you actually can put together your a health and wellness coach, a nutritional coach. You can actually put together a plan for those people who are ready to make that change, correct?
Absolutely. That is something that I do on the Veggie Chest, so you can watch that from my channel on YouTube. The Veggie, you can just go to type in the Veggie Chest, and you'll see it there. Or you can go to my website, RubyLathan.com. That's RubyLathon.com. And you can see it there, and then you can also look at the different services that I offer. So one of them that is coming up in May, May 22nd, it's a Sunday, we're going to be doing a Just for Men's cooking class, because I get a lot of blank stares sometimes when I'm coaching men about different recipes and things like that. So we're going to break it down to a very simple class. It's going to be May 22nd at 3 p.m., and the registration information will be up on the site tomorrow. But if you sign up, go to my website and sign up for the newsletter, you will get information about the class and all the details and all the other upcoming events. So you can just go to RubyLathan.com. At the bottom of the page, you'll see sign up for my newsletter, and you can do that there. And then you can stay up to date about what's coming down the pipe. So I'm happy to help people and show them really healthy ways to eat and prepare their food, because like you said, we don't want to just say what not to eat. We want to give you those replacements and show you what to do instead.
Doctor, I really have enjoyed this interview. This has been, as always, I mean, I expected it to be good, but it's always better than I expected it to be. Just a lot of information. Will there be a Earth Day celebration in the D.C. area tomorrow?
There are quite a few things, from cleaning up the Anacostia to other celebrations going on in D.C. I think on the mayor's webpage, there's a calendar of things you can do. And then, you know, you can do your Google search and see what else is happening. But there are several events going on this weekend as well.
Well, for everybody that's listening, I mean, you can just start. I mean, even if you don't want to go out and attend an event, you can start yourself. You can just decide tomorrow, you know, hey, I'm not going to eat any dairy, or, you know, consume any dairy, or I'm not going to eat any meat, or, you know. And I just want to encourage everybody to, that those that are not on the vegan path already but are making the transition, it might seem daunting in the beginning. I never thought when I was young, it never even crossed my mind that I would be a vegan. I mean, just the thought of that just was not even an issue. I mean, it was just something that just never entered into my sphere of awareness. And today, here I am. And I know, and I was the most meat-eatenest, spaghetti with meatballs eatenest, meatloaf eatenest, mashed potatoes, I mean, kind of guy, you know. But, you know, here I am, you know, hosting a holistic health show. I mean, and so I'm saying to you that you can do it. You can do it. The benefits are awesome. You'll feel better. And if you have children, if you can raise them, or grandchildren, and you can actually raise them to eat healthy. I mean, you look at some cultures, you know, it's nothing to see a child eating a carrot, you know, just eating a carrot steak. You know, when is the last time you saw a black child eating a carrot stick? You know, I mean, just eating a carrot stick, you know, I already know the answer, you know. So, but other cultures, you see it all the time, you know. It's time for us to, you know, come up, all right. It's really time for us to come up. Our health, I mean, we lead in all the negative statistics, you know. High obesity, I mean, heart trouble, I mean, fibroids, I mean, you name it, we lead it. And on the negative side, that can change. But it starts with a choice, and it starts with, but the choice is going to be made based on information and education. And so people like Dr. Lathan are so pivotal in helping us to come up into the 21st century, you know. And I just want to, I applaud you, Doctor. I mean, for, again, for all of the work you've done is say, don't do this, don't eat that. But again, you take people by the hand. They can actually call you. You can put them on a plan. And to those that are listening, you can do it. Doctor, anything that we haven't covered concerning the topic, you know, Earth Day, your diet, and the planet that you would like to share as we close?
You know, just take it one step at a time. Try one meal at a time, eliminating the things that we know shouldn't be on the plate, and then decide to make it a lifestyle. But it starts with the simple choice that this is something you can do, and then following through with it, you know, at each meal. You know, start with one day at a time and see how that goes. Build up your recipe arsenal, and then go from there.
And everybody, I just want to say in closing, again, when you're listening to Dr. Lathan, you're not listening to somebody who just read a book. This doctor has tried it, proven that everything that she says works. She cured herself of thyroid cancer. And I'm going to say that again and again and again because I need that to sink in. She cured herself of thyroid cancer, okay? For most people, that would be a death sentence. They would do whatever the doctor said to do, okay? But she took matters into her own hands, said, I don't want to be a cog in that wheel. I don't just want to be another, you know, folder or file in somebody's file cabinet or whatever. I'm taking matters into my own hand. And as a result of that, we're listening to her today, okay? She's an expert at what she does. So if you go to the doctor, and the doctor's giving you a bad report, get a second opinion. If you listen to Dr. Lathan in this show and you're feeling good, you won't have to go to the doctor, okay? So I just want to encourage everybody, go back and listen to the archives. Dr. Lathan is a regular on Health, Wealth, and Divine. She comes on once a month. We've talked about everything from diabetes to lupus to obesity. I mean, you name it, fasting. I mean, we've covered it, and there's more to come. So, Doctor, I want to say thank you so much, so much, so much. Awesome, awesome information. I pray that God continues to open doors for you to keep doing what you're doing because we need you, and we appreciate you. Thank you so much for your time. Dr. Lathan? Everybody,
yes,
looks like
thank you. I think that was muted. Thanks for having me. Always have a great time, and I look forward to next time.
Okay. Likewise, everybody, that is Dr. Ruby Lathan. Make sure you check out the Veggie Chest. I know that when it comes to making the transition, it can be scary because we're talking about a lifestyle change. Yes, a lifestyle change, one that you can do. And I'm here to tell you that you can do it because I did it. Like I said, I was the most meat-eatingest brother you ever met in your life, okay? But now, and you can do the same thing too. No, we're not fanatic. We just believe that there's a better way, okay? So if you believe that there's a better way, keep listening to the shows. My name is Jawanza. Check out the archives. We've got all kinds of shows. We've got Dr. Ted Watkins, who comes on once a month. Last show we did with him, he talked about the dangers of cheese. You want to go back and listen to that. If you're eating cheese, you definitely need to hear that show. Okay, we've talked to Brother Coy Dunstan. He comes on once a month. He cured his mother of cancer in both breasts, the liver and the colon, and she was the very first person that he worked with. Okay, he changed her diet to a livet, and before you know it, she was back in the pulpit preaching, giving glory to God. Okay, we've got spiritual shows. We've got guests like Brother Orwa, Hehi Meturan, Comet. We've done the 11 Laws of God. Check out the archives. Oh, my God, we're in the cycle of Het Heru. We've got a show in the archives. Check that out. We've talked with Hechem Suheru, Shechem Me'ab Neter. Awesome, awesome interviews with Shechem Tepraim Sa'ah, Shechem Meta Uneta, Shechem Sa'anktaku Nenebu. You want to check out all of those shows, okay? They're there just for you. Until the next time, my name is Jawanza. I certainly appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of your day. Attack.